Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 8. Examples of Praying Men. I desire therefore that the men in every place pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and strife. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. The act of praying is the very highest energy of which the human mind is capable. Praying, that is, with the total concentration of the faculties. The great mass of worldly men and of learned men are absolutely incapable of prayer. Coleridge. Bishop Wilson said, in Henry Martyn's journals, the spirit of prayer, the time he devoted to the duty, and his fervor in it are the first things which strike me. Edward Payson wore the hardwood boards into grooves where his knees pressed so often and so long. His biographer relates, his continuing instant in prayer, whatever his circumstances, is the most noticeable fact in his history and points out the duty of all who would rival his greatness. His distinguished and almost uninterrupted success to a great measure can be ascribed to his ardent and persevering prayers. Christ was most precious to the Marquis de Renty, who ordered his servant to call him from his devotions at the end of half an hour. The servant at the time saw his face through a crack, and it was marked with such holiness that he hated to disturb him. His lips were moving, but he was perfectly silent. He waited until 3 hours had passed, then he called to him. When he arose from his knees, he said that the half hour was very short when he was communing with Christ. David Brainerd said, I love to be alone in my cottage where I can spend much time in prayer. William Bramwell is famous in Methodist history for personal holiness, his wonderful success in preaching, and the marvelous answers to his prayers. For hours at a time, he would pray. He almost lived on his knees. He went over his circuits like a flame of fire. The fire was kindled by the time he spent in prayer. He often spent as much as 4 hours of prayer at a time. Bishop Lancelot Andrew spent the greatest part of 5 hours every day in prayer and devotion. When the Ark of the Covenant had been brought to Jerusalem, King David told the Israelites to seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. Sir Henry Havelock always spent the first 2 hours of each day alone with God. If the residents stirred at 6 a.m., he would rise at 4 a.m. He took to heart the words of the psalmist, "But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer come before thee." Psalm 88, verse 13. Earl Cairns rose daily at 6 o'clock to secure an hour and a half for the study of the Bible and for prayer, before conducting family worship at 7:45. Dr. Judson's success in prayer is attributed to the fact that he gave much time to prayer. On this point, he said, "Arrange your days, if possible, so that you can leisurely devote 2 or 3 hours every day, or so merely to devotional exercises, to the very act of secret prayer in communion with God. Endeavor 7 times a day to withdraw from business and company and lift up your soul to God in solitude. Begin the day by rising after midnight and devoting some time in the silence and darkness of the night to this sacred work. Let the hour of dawn find you at the same work. Let the hours of 9, 12, 3, 6, and 9 at night also find you in prayer. Be resolute in this cause. Make all practical sacrifices to maintain this schedule. Consider that your time is short, and business and company must not be allowed to rob you of your God." Do we consider these impossible, fanatical directions? Dr. Judson impressed an empire for Christ and laid the foundation for God's kingdom with imperishable rock in the heart of Burma. He was successful as one of the few men who mightily impressed the world for Christ. Many men with greater gifts and genius and learning have made no such impression. Their religious work is like footsteps in the sand, but Dr. Judson has engraved his work on the hardened hearts. The secret of its profoundness and endurance is found in the fact that he gave time to prayer. He kept the iron red hot with prayer, and God's skill fashioned it with enduring power. No man can do a great and enduring work for God who is not a man of prayer, and no man can be a man of prayer who does not give much time to praying. Is it true that prayer is simply the compliance with habit, dull and mechanical? A petty performance into which we are trained until tameness, shortness, and superficiality are its chief components? Scripture: "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the worldly do." Matthew chapter 6, verse 7a. Is it true that prayer is little more than the half-passive play of sentiment that flows sluggishly through the minutes or hours of easy meditation? Canon Liddon continues, "Let those who have really prayed give the answer. They sometimes describe prayer with the patriarch Jacob as a wrestling together with an unseen power which may last late into the night hours or even to the break of day. Sometimes they refer to common intercession with the Apostle Paul as a concerted struggle. When praying, they have their eyes fixed on the great intercessor in Gethsemane and upon the drops of blood that fall to the ground in the agony of resignation and sacrifice. Persistence is of the essence of successful prayer. It is not dreaminess, but sustained work. It is through prayer, especially, that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force." It was a saying of Bishop Hamilton that no man is likely to do much good in prayer if he does not look upon it as preparation for a work and persevere with all the earnestness which we bring to other subjects that are most interesting and necessary to us. Scripture: "I arose before the dawning of the morning and cried, I waited in thy word. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I might meditate in thy spoken word. Hear my voice according to thy mercy. O Lord, cause me to live according to thy judgment. Psalm 119, verses 147 through 149.